You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and this is the All Souls Forum, and for once we're going to do this show mostly live for you today. I'm Barry. I'm the guy who produces this show and edits it each week for broadcast. And in the studio with us, we have a voice that you're quite familiar with, I'm sure, when you listen to these broadcasts every week. You're not on every week, but Rita Norton is here from All Souls live in the studio. Thank you for coming, Rita.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to talk a little bit about, before we actually play the forum for today, and I need to look up who it is. I believe it is Ms. Skelton.
Catherine Footer.
Oh, okay. And you'll have to tell me about it a little bit because I haven't done my homework, I'm sorry to say. But Rita, tell us a little bit. First of all, tell us what your involvement is with the forum and tell us about the forum itself. How did it get started and all that kind of stuff. Give us a brief, a little bit of history.
All that kind of stuff. My own involvement has been about 10, 12 years, mainly helping with the scheduling, which is always a challenge to get a weekly schedule put together, I'm sure you know. As far as the history of the forum is concerned, I'm going to use the phrase dedication to the liberal arts, mm-hmm. which is about a centimeter away from dedication to social justice. Mm-hmm. A lot of the history of the forum connects to the old Kansas City University, which was extant from 1929 or 1933 until 1963. Very strong on the liberal arts. In 1943, a number, which of course is midway in the World War II, our mm-hmm. involvement, a number of professors from KCU, who were also members of All Souls Unitarian, decided to put together a forum, a weekly forum. We've been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. We outlasted KCU.
Yes, it be turned into UMKC.
The original committee was called the Forum Faculty. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just faculty members from KCU who spoke, but they dominated. Mm. There was this huge emphasis on the liberal arts, serving the liberal arts. The original slogan was, neither to convert nor controvert, but to share.
Lovely philosophy.
Do you think it still fits?
I do.
I do too.
Yeah, and that's what I love about the forum, because I listen to every show because I produce them all, and I learn something every week that uh-huh. I do it, because one of the good things about the forum is that if there's a social problem or an economic problem or whatever the discussion is for that week, you have the person involved who knows about the situation, who's either intimately involved in it or has studied it or whatever. You're not just, a talking head doing spin. You've got people who know the facts. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like about it, is it's very objective, but it's knowledgeable, and that's the beautiful thing of the forum. And one thing I need to tell you, Rita, which you may not know, is that, we have, the forum is podcasted, mm-hmm. every week on our website at kkfi.org. And it is the most downloaded really? Show of all of our public affairs shows, at least the last time I was briefed on it, which was, 2 or 3 weeks ago or a month ago. And that's something, this is why I wanted to do it live. We're going to still have the talk this week at a quarter after, but I thought it might be a good idea to have you come in and give the folks an idea, a little bit of a background about how the forum came to be and what it's supposed to do. And if those of you who are listening out there, if you listen every week or you just access it through the podcast, however you encounter the show, you're obviously liking it, we would like you to support it and give us a call at 888-931-0901. That's 888-931-0901. Pledge your support for the forum, because I think it's a very important program to have on the air, and we've been proud to broadcast it all these years. We're really glad that the All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church makes these programs available for us. So I want to thank you, Rita, because you're instrumental in doing that.
You're welcome. We're very glad to be broadcast, I'm sure
yes.
you know.
Well, yes, and it's something that, you know, everyone, at some point or another, every week there may be something that maybe you don't empathize with or it doesn't really apply to you, but over the course of the broadcasts that we do over the year, there will be a number of shows that will impact you directly, and those are the shows that are important to you. And if you've learned something or if you've gotten insight or something else from listening to this, maybe it's just pure pleasure of hearing somebody speak eloquently about a subject that everybody needs to talk about. If you appreciate that kind of thing, give us a call at 888-931-0901. We have just a few minutes to ask you prior to and after our talk today about, just to inform you about what's going on with this and how you can help continue this program being on the air, because we do want it to continue, and I think it's important. The mayor's State of the City address was last week. Who started that series? I know it's been going on for at least a decade, or at least 25 years.
About 25 years. There has been an interesting contrast, or comparison, between the way different mayors respond to it. Mm-hmm. Some have been very eager to come and speak. Others have had to really have their arms twisted in order to come. But it seems as though once a mayor has come, he or she is eager to come back. The All Souls audience is special. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that listeners miss, people who only hear the forum on KKFI, on the radio, mm-hmm. they miss the opportunity for those live questions.
Yes, and that's an essential part of every show, is that when I produce the show, I always divide it into two. You know, I do the talk or the lecture, however you want to characterize it, first. Then we take a break. We do what ads we need to do, not ads, but public service things. And then we do the Q&A, and the Q&A is often, you know, almost as good or sometimes better than the talk, because the questions are always intelligent at All Souls, and you have your ground rules, which is, you know, you don't want people getting up making a long dissertation, right? I'm sure you've had to quash that occasionally, but the questions are always intelligent and always bring something more to the broadcast, and we hope that they're the questions that the listeners out there who are listening to this show will be asking in their own mind, is like as the talk goes along, oh yeah, well what about this, and that's the part, that's why I don't edit them out, you know, I mm-hmm. keep them in, you know, for that very reason, because they are worth having. But if you feel that it's something that is culturally vital to the city, we do here at KKFI. The All Souls Forum is something we broadcast every single week. Even when the forums stop, we do some other things. We may repeat some of the other ones, or we'll put things in. But for the most part, the forums are the same thing that you, if you go to the church on Sunday mornings at 10, I assume mm-hmm. that's when they start, is this is what you get. It is a little cleaned up. You know, obviously I do clean up, you know, some noises and things like that each week. So you're getting kind of the freshly scrubbed version of the speech, but I never ever cut anything out of, if I have a time constraint, I will cut something from the questions, because mm-hmm. I feel that the talk is the most important part, and I never ever take anything from that. You know,
Thank
I might
you.
Take, you know, if somebody does an aside to the crowd or something, I might cut that out, but the essential speech is always going to be there. And what we're going to hear today is Carolyn Skelton, who's a...
Catherine Footer.
No, I believe we are running Miss Skelton today. Miss Footer, I haven't gotten yet, Rita.
Cultural District?
No.
Oops,
no, this will be Carolyn. No,
we're
actually 2 weeks kind of behind when you guys do them.
My apologies.
That's
right.
Quite all right.
It
no,
Carolyn
it is Carolyn
Skelton.
And it is her topic is nutritional issues in our industrial food system. And she's going to discuss basically the nutritional deficiencies that we pretty much all have to deal with, processed foods, how we can protect ourselves with locally grown and organic food, which I'm trying very hard to do in Lawrence, where I live. So that's who we'll hear today in about five or so more minutes. But we want to ask you in the interim to please call, pledge your support for this program. This is something that's vitally important for not only the city and the county and the community, but just individually for somebody. You can learn a lot from this show, and that's the idea of it. So call us at 888-931-0901. That's 888-931-0901. You can also, if you're at work and you can't get to a phone, you can also access us via the website at kkfi.org. You'll see a little pop-up screen that will tell you to or help you to donate. So you can go online and do it. We do like to hear from you, you know, at least telephonically, so you can give us some feedback. Tell us what you like about the show. Tell us what you would wish, maybe topics that you would like covered in the future. This is your chance to let us know when you make your pledge of support what you'd like to hear on the All Souls Forum. You have Rita Norton right here with us in the studio, and you can give her the information, and perhaps she'll go to the church and see if she can effectuate it. We'll see. We can't promise, obviously, Rita.
Right, there's the committee. Got to clear the
you
committee.
Got a committee. You want to give us kind of a sneak preview of some things that might be coming up? Do you have a list of coming attractions?
Yes, some things that are coming up this year, this spring. We are just barely into February, aren't we?
Yes.
On the 8th, we will have a discussion of tax incentive financing.
Mm-hmm. This coming Sunday?
This coming Sunday on the 8th. One Struggle KC has a small panel they've put together for the next Sunday. Mm-hmm. On the 22nd of February, one of the traditions and one of the most popular forms of all is Bob Butler talking about the Oscars.
Yes.
On Oscar
the
Sunday.
The Oscar preview. Yes.
We have speakers talking about the Lake Wobegon effect, mm-hmm. where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average. Porter Arneal, who is our chief of public art in Kansas City, will be talking. Okay. I'll be talking about antitrust. John Sharp will be speaking on the 22nd of March on a subject that's very close to my heart, privatizing government services.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a threat to all of us.
Yes.
We will have some representatives from fast food workers in April. Ira Harrett of the Listening Project will be mm-hmm. featured in April. I don't want to just read a long list to you.
Oh, a couple more.
Okay. I believe on the 3rd of May, we will have somebody speaking about biking in Kansas City.
Biking?
Biking, riding mm-hmm. a bicycle in this city.
Okay.
On Mother's Day, we'll have Richard Tripp talking about homelessness.
Okay.
On the 17th of May, we will have city council candidates.
Oh, yes. And that's another thing the forum does is that the mayoral candidates as well.
Yes.
Come
yes.
down and debate live. Now, if folks, Rita, if folks want to just simply attend them in person, what should they do? Can they just show up, essentially?
You just show up. That's all there is to it. We start right at 10, mm-hmm. and we rush out of the room at 11 o'clock because we need to make room for the people who are putting on the service.
Yes.
Very frequently, more often than not, there is also a discussion with the speaker in a meeting room between 11 and about 12.
Yeah.
So that is a great deal of fun for many people because it's really getting down to the nitty-gritty, the things yeah. that you are not comfortable saying on the air.
Or in public.
Uh-huh.
A little more private in
yes.
the room. I realize it's public, but it's a little more one-on-one.
Yes, and most of the time we do have that extra feature there.
Okay.
We do like as much of an audience as we can get.
Mm-hmm.
It has been growing. And I think KKFI, of course, has helped in that.
We should sure hope so. Okay, we're going to get ready to go to Carolyn Skelton. Before I do, though, I want to ask you one more time to please help support this program. Call us at 888-931-0901. That's 888-931-0901. You can go online also at kkfi.org and pledge that way. But we like to hear from you. And if you do make a pledge to support All Souls, please give us some feedback. Let us know what you like about it and what you maybe don't like. Hopefully there's not much. and maybe some topics you'd like discussed in the future. This is the time. Since Rita Norton is here, she can take it back, and perhaps it might wind up in the lineup in the upcoming shows in the fall. So we're going to go to Carolyn Skelton now, talking about the nutritional issues in our industrial food system. We're going to pretty much run this uncut. We're going to just run it for, I think it's around about 26 minutes. We're going to hear a little bit from Marilyn May to have you maybe hear another voice asking you to support us. But again, that number is 888-931-0901, 888-931-0901. That's the number to call. We have folks waiting to hear from you right now in the pledge room. And Rita, we're going to take a little bit of a 25, 26 minute siesta, I suppose, and listen to Carolyn Skelton right after we hear from Marilyn May. And then we'll come back live about a quarter till, and we'll talk to you some more about the forum and how you can support it. So let us proceed to this week's forum. But first, a little message from Marilyn May.
Hi, this is Marilyn May for KKFI. You gotta pledge now. Don't sit and veg now. Don't try to edge now. Pledge today. Yes, dear, KKFI has your music. They play the best, be it jazz or the blues. You can, in this very minute, make history, begin it. Pledge now. And thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for coming this morning and being here on this rainy, cold day. I appreciate everybody coming out. I'm excited to talk with you today about something that I'm very passionate about as a dietitian, but also a personal trainer. I have been practicing in this field since 1998. I started as a personal trainer in Columbia, Missouri, where I was completing my degree in dietetics from the University of Missouri. And I had an opportunity to work with age ranges from 10 to 60. And I really found this rewarding because my 10-year-olds were suffering with high blood pressure and obesity and the verge of prediabetes. And I got to work with these kids and help them realize that by making small changes with dietary and exercise, they could start to feel better, but also see some health improvements. And then with my older adults, my wiser ones, I like to call them, in the age of 60 and older, I was working with them on diabetes and heart disease. And what I found from working with these folks is they saw improvements in their lipid panels and also improvements with just feeling better, but losing weight, sleeping better, and having more energy. So this really instilled a passion in me to keep in this field and keep working in this field for the last 15 years, in fact, to help people because I saw results. And so that's what's kept me moving forward. And what I'm going to talk about today is nutrition issues in our industrial food system. So the three objectives that I'd like to go through today are to identify nutritional deficiencies in the industrial food system and related chronic diseases. I'm going to examine the local food movement and how we all play a role. And then finally, I'll discuss the local food as part of a new, broader spectrum of health. So with the industrial food system, there's three areas that I'll discuss. We have confined animal feeding operations, fast food, processed packaged foods, and sweetened beverages, and then, of course, the famous traveling tomato. These are what confined animal feeding operations look like. And this is an example of sows that are kept in these gestation crates for most of their breeding or most of their lives. And these are breeding pigs in the United States that are confined in these crates for several years. And these cages are approximately 2 feet wide. They're so small the animals cannot even turn around or take a step forward or backward. So due to the duration and the severity of their confinement, these pigs' suffering is among the worst of all factory farmed animals. And this slide here shows another example of our factory farms in America today. Again, confined animal feeding operations. And what we see in these types of operations are aggressive behavior. We have tail docking, debeaking of the chickens. And then in the lower right corner, you have manure lagoons. So this is what leads to antibiotic buildup in our waterways, which affects our wildlife development and also can affect humans, causing medicine-resistant superbugs. This picture here is an aerial view of how these confined animal feeding operations can affect our human health because of the runoff of the animal feces and then into our waterways, and the pollution that it causes contaminating our ground and surface water, which releases harmful pollutants into the air and promotes the development of antibiotic-resistant bacteria, incubating infectious diseases and facilitating the continued overuse of chemical pesticides. So we often see all these things. We're all familiar with processed, packaged what. And as a dietitian, what I like to encourage my folks to work on is if the package has more than 5 ingredients, you probably should think about actually putting that in your shopping cart. Because really, how far away is that then from being a whole food? And we have so much of this in the United States. We have an excessive amount of unhealthy foods. And the examples that I have up here are fast foods, snack cakes, candy, chips, breads, cereals, sodas, TV dinners. These foods are low in nutritional value, and most are high in sugar and saturated fat. So I'm not picking necessarily on McDonald's, but I'm a visionary, so I have a suggestion here at the end when I get done talking about this. So the number of McDonald's in the United States, this is a very good picture of how many McDonald's we have in the United States. 14,357 McDonald's in the United States, and this was as December 7th, 2014. This is an average of 276 McDonald's per state. So I put this out there because I'm thinking about this as I'm putting together this presentation. Imagine if each one of these McDonald's partnered with a local farmer and worked together on local healthy foods. Wouldn't that be cool? So that's a vision that I have that I think would be so cool if that happened over the next 20 to 30 years. But let's look at a McDonald's meal. So we all are familiar with a quarter pounder with cheese, large French fries, and the 32-ounce soda. I talk to my patients and my members about meals like this almost on a daily basis. And a lot of people just don't know the nutritional value of these foods. So with the quarter pounder with cheese, you have 510 calories, 26 grams of fat, 12 of those 26 grams are saturated fat, 42 grams of carbohydrate, 10 grams of sugar, and 29 grams of protein, and then 1,110 milligrams of sodium, and that's in the quarter pounder with cheese. The large fry has another 510 calories, 24 grams of fat, 67 grams of carbohydrate, and 6 grams of protein, and 290 milligrams of sodium. And finally, the soda has 32-ounce soda, 280 calories, 76 grams of carbohydrate, 76 grams of sugar, for a grand total for this whole meal is 1,300 calories, 50 grams of fat, 185 grams of carbohydrate, 86 grams of sugar, 35 grams of protein, and 1,400 milligrams of sodium. Fiber is minimal. I'd say less than 5. That's a very good point. So the question in the audience was how many grams of fiber in this McDonald's meal, and as a dietitian, I'd have to say there's less than 5. My concern with this meal is the amount of sugar and carbohydrates, because this is excessive amount of sugar for one meal, and for my diabetics, this meal is just not a very healthy choice. So next we'll look at sweetened beverages. This is a caramel mocha latte up there in the corner. Soda, of course, and then juices. All right? So I worked at Hy-Vee for a year, and what I saw while working in the grocery store was the back storeroom. And the back storeroom at Hy-Vee, I will say, was 2/3 full of beverages. And that's in most grocery stores. That's just not at Hy-Vee. Most grocery stores make most of their profit off sweetened beverages. Okay? So the American Heart Association recommends no more than 9 teaspoons per day for men and 6 teaspoons per day for women. And I'm going to talk about that here in a second, but I want to make sure that we know how much in these beverages that I have up here on the screen. I have a 12-ounce soda, and then I have a juice beverage, and then I have the caramel latte, the caramel mocha. That's a 20-ounce, so in a 20-ounce caramel mocha is 450 calories, 44 grams of sugar. The 12-ounce can of soda is 140 to 150 calories, 39 to 44 grams of sugar. And then an 8-ounce fruit juice. A lot of times folks think they might be doing something healthier for their bodies by drinking juice, but unfortunately that's too much sugar. There's a lot of sugar. 8 ounces of fruit juice is 120 to 140 calories and 20 to 27 grams of sugar. So these are empty calories. There's absolutely no nutritional value with these beverages. Now I'm not saying you can't ever have these, but we've just got to be smart about how often and what our portion size is of these foods. So from the American Heart Association, I mentioned this just a little bit ago, the daily added sugar limit is 9 teaspoons for men, which comes out to 36 grams of added sugar per day. And for women, it's 24 grams of sugar, which is the 6 teaspoons. That's the recommendation. The average American consumes 152 pounds of sugar a year. So I did some calculations and some number crunching on that. That's 69,000 grams of sugar per year, which is an average of 188 grams of sugar per day. Okay, so 188 grams of sugar per day, and the recommendation from the American Heart Association, 36 grams per day for men and 24 grams per day for sugar. So we're taking in an excessive amount of sugar in the United States. So processed fast foods and beverages, yes, they are fast and they are cheap, but this should be a red flag. They're low in nutritional value, they're high in sodium, saturated fat, hydrogenated fat, and sugar, and they're low in the fiber, vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants that our bodies need to be healthy. And now the traveling tomato. We've all seen the tomatoes. They're perfect in shape, they're bright red. And I'm going to go through how this tomato ends up in your grocery store. It's picked from the field. It's then shipped to a nearby packaging facility. The tomato is then sorted, washed, and resorted. It's emptied out of crates and boxes. It's hand sorted again, sprayed with ethylene gas to ripen. And then it has a long journey back by truck to a repackaging center of the destination grocery store, and then repackaged and delivered to the local grocer. That's most tomatoes in the grocery store today. So my tomato from my garden is been processed and frozen in my freezer right now. And there's ways that I'm going to talk about that a little bit later about serving or storing your food and canning your food to where you can have nice fresh garden tomatoes in the middle of winter. The effect on the body for processed foods, of course, leads to obesity, heart disease, cancer, hypertension, diabetes, and/or renal disease. Heart disease is the number one cause of death around the world. And we do have an epidemic of chronic disease in the United States. And that's not news to any of us in this audience. We see it daily and when we're walking around, when we're in the store. And I can honestly say that most of my patients that I see for obesity and heart disease and diabetes don't eat more than 3 servings of fruits and vegetables a day or more than 32 ounces of water. And Americans have twice the obesity rate, twice the diabetes rate, and 3 times the cancer rate as the rest of the world. And Americans eat more meat per person than any other people on earth, with an average of 200 pounds per year. That's a lot of meat. As far as when we look at global diabetes, it's estimated that 438 million people, or roughly 8% of the world's population, will have diabetes by 2030. Now, when we bring this home and we look at Missouri and the obesity and diabetes rates, the adult obesity rate in Missouri is 30.4%. In 2013, more than 446 adult Missourians had doctor-diagnosed diabetes. And studies show that a plant-based diet can reverse chronic diseases such as heart disease, diabetes, and obesity. And I'd also like to say that some information that I looked at when I was looking at some statistics, adults with a household income less than $15,000 per year had a significantly higher prevalence than those with a household income of $50,000 a year or greater, and that was a prevalence for diabetes. So now I'd like to move into the local food movement. And this is a nice community garden picture that I have showing members of the community getting together and growing, planting and growing healthy foods. In Kansas City, we have many farmers markets that are available and accessible to all of us. And I serve on the Kansas City Food Circle, which is a very, very good organization. And we are connecting Kansas City eaters and restaurants with local, organic, free-range farmers. And we do host annual expos in the early spring for our farmers and growers to meet each other, but also talk about opportunities to buy food from that farmer. Community-supported agriculture. These are locally based economic model of agriculture and food distribution. And CSA members or subscribers pay at the onset of a growing season for a share of the anticipated harvest. Once harvesting begins, they receive weekly shares of vegetables and fruits in a vegetable box type scheme or a bag. And often these CSAs will include fresh herbs, honey, eggs, dairy products, and meat, in addition to conventional produce offerings. Restaurants are starting to buy more from local farmers, and we have 14 restaurants on our Kansas City Food Circle dining card. And then the Greater Kansas City Food Policy Coalition. This is a group that was established in 2009 to strengthen the local food system, recognizing that a healthy food system is critical to increasing healthy eating. And the Beans and Greens program. This is a program that's been going on in Kansas City for the last couple years. It's a very exciting program which helps low-income shoppers access and afford locally grown produce, benefiting local residents and small-scale farmers. And their theme is nourishment for people and their local community. So how the Beans and Greens program has worked is folks with food stamps can go to the main table at the food farmers markets and they can get double their food stamps. So their $20 of food stamps can get them $40 in tokens at these farmers markets here in Kansas City, which is really, really cool. And Cultivate KC, it's my understanding, has picked up this program and will be running the Beans and Greens program here in Kansas City. We also have Slow Food USA, and their mission as an international grassroots membership organization is good, clean, and fair food for all. And businesses are starting to take hold of the local food movement. And I'm proud to say that Cerner does host a Fields to Forks, which is a market at all three campuses every month during the growing season for their associates to come and buy local foods. Hospitals are also getting on the local food movement, which is exciting. When I was at St. Luke's on the plaza, they were starting to have markets available for their employees to come and buy local foods right there during the week. Like on a Wednesday afternoon, they'd have the market available for their employees to come and buy local foods. And then the Hospital Healthy Food Initiative, this debuted in 2012. And this is an initiative that's part of the Partnership for a Healthier America, and it was founded in 2010 by First Lady Michelle Obama. And other participating health systems, including the Catholic Health Initiatives, Kaiser Permanente, the Cleveland Clinic, and the Henry Ford Health System. And the hospital on here example that I'd like to talk about too a little more is the Detroit Hospital, the Henry Ford West End Bloomfield Hospital, which is a nonprofit hospital. They have hired a resident farmer and have opened a 1,500 square foot greenhouse to grow organic produce for patients on their 160 acre campus. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Schools are taking more initiative too for the local food movement, more growing gardens and showing the children and educating them how to grow food. I know in Warrensburg, where I grew up, we have greenhouses that are selling transplants, and they're in their greenhouses there in the high school for you to come and buy transplants for your garden. And then also buying food from local farmers. We have the Farm to School program across the country, and this is an increasing number of schools and districts that have begun to source more locally and provide complementary educational activities to students that emphasize food, farming, and nutrition. In the state of Missouri, this is the Missouri Food from the Farm Kindergarten Farm to School program, which teaches young children and their parents about food, farms, and nutrition. And I have the site up here on my slide for more information about these programs. You can check out www.kchealthykids.org, and then it's /healthy-eating/local-foods-in-schools. So food and health, This is a slide showing bringing the community together, doing a farm-to-table type event, and we are working on that as a food circle to offer events like this. This is where socializing and health, I feel, come together and are very important in our community. Studies show that chronic diseases can be prevented and even reversed by following a plant-based diet. So organic local foods leads to less chemicals. When you have healthy soil, you have healthy plants, healthy people, and healthy families and healthy communities. This slide here shows happy animals plus healthy land, which equals your healthy people. So these are local community. We've seen pictures like this, but this community is getting together and growing food. You're giving your animals the respected amount of land and area that they need to move and breathe and to just have a sustainable environment. Local food is better for you. The shorter time between the farm and your table, the less likely it is that nutrients will be lost from fresh food. And I often get, well, what diet do you recommend? So the DASH diet, this is the dietary approaches to stop hypertension. It was developed with the help of the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. Its emphasis is on fruits and vegetables balanced with the right amount of protein. Okay, there's four books that she has out right now. This is Mrs. Marla Heller. She's a dietitian that's worked with the National Heart and Lung and Blood Institute to develop these books. And the most recent book is The DASH Diet for a Younger You, which is the one on the right that just came out in December. And I like to steer folks to that because it meets the population of both vegetarians and non-vegetarians. And she provides in that book meal plans for 14 days of non-vegetarian meals, but also vegetarian meals. So you've got some good options there. And I'll say that the DASH diet, for the fifth year in a row, the expert panel from the U.S. News and World Report chose the DASH diet as the best, healthiest diet and the best diet for diabetes. So produce, local produce, and local food preserves genetic diversity. And as you can see here, we have the last amount of tomatoes for the season nicely coming in with your squashes for the early fall, and we still have an abundance of peppers for local food. So in the modern agriculture system, plant varieties are chosen for their ability to ripen uniformly, withstand harvesting, survive packaging, and last a long time on the shelf. So there's limited genetic diversity in a large-scale production. And as you can see here from a small farmer, there's more diversity, and they can grow many different varieties of crops to provide a long harvest season, an array of colors, and the best of flavors. This is a really good site. This slide here shows nutrition through the season. This is a nutritional seasonal produce guide, and it's the snap.nal.usda.gov/nutrition-through-the-seasons/seasonal-produce. So, and on this website, what you'll find here is they give a very nice list of all the foods from your winter and then on into spring, summer, and fall. They have links with each food. The food lists are over 20 long for each season. It's just really cool site. And it shows you the nutrition facts for that food for that season, but then it also gives you recipes of how you can prepare that food. It's a really, really helpful site. I encourage you to go there if you think you want to incorporate more seasonal foods into your diet. So eating local. And how can we eat local? Well, we can get the right kinds of cookbooks. And these are some cookbooks that we have available that you can get here in Missouri. It's seasonal and simple. And then grow, eat, grow. And then, of course, there's another Rolling Prairie cookbook there. So instead of finding a recipe or shopping for your ingredients, now you can find out what's fresh at the market or what you get in your CSA and then go shopping for a recipe. And then also with eating local, how we can eat local with preserving your harvest. Like I talked about before, I froze my tomatoes from my garden from the summer, and I'm going to use them in soups and stews and chili over the winter. Or I'll do salsa and canned salsa in the middle of winter that you've made from your garden. It's pretty tasty. This is a good link and with some good sites to go to learn how to preserve your harvest. So the K-State Extension, the MU Extension, of course, Ball Canning site has some good information on how to can and preserve your food. And then Bad Seed Urban Homesteading also has some good information on canning and preserving your food. So now I'd like to take a couple minutes and share with you a trailer for a documentary on Who's Your Farmer? And this is called Ingredients, The Local Food Movement Takes Root.
There's no culture in the world that spends less on food or more on medicine than the United States. So to me, it's a painfully obvious truth. You can pay the doctor or pay the farmer.
There are so few farmers in the United States now that they're not even included as an occupation in the census. We're lumped with all other, less than 1% of the population, and yet we're expected to feed more and more and more people.
We have been educated by a fast food system that tells us that cooking is drudgery. It's much easier to go out and buy it.
There's still a lot of restaurants that don't buy anything from local farms. A lot of them now realize that that is the way to get the best ingredients.
You shouldn't be buying garlic shipped in the holds of ships from thousands of miles away between sex toys and flip-flops.
Well, we've only been, you know, carrying on the way we've been carrying on for a relatively short span of humanity. And prior to that, for 500,000 years, we're doing this.
We are involved in a renewal process of the American food culture.
The number of farmers markets and community-supported agriculture projects and restaurants featuring local foods is growing exponentially.
And I feel the potential is there in green markets, in farmers markets, in just the contacts that people make around food, in gardening in your backyard, if you like. This community around growing food is a very powerful thing, I think.
This is a place where I feel.
It is through grassroots pressure on a weekly basis that there's anything truly edible in this country.
Thank you, Daniel, for helping with that. I appreciate that. So that's a very good documentary. I encourage you to see. I have ordered it, and I will be watching it soon myself. Unfortunately, it hasn't arrived in the mail yet, but it will be. So upcoming events that we have in Kansas City. Our local expos are coming up with the Kansas City Food Circle. Saturday, March 28th, the Johnson County Community Center. This will be our 15th year for our annual expos. And then Saturday, April 11th, we'll be at Penn Valley. And we'll have over 80 to 90 of our farmers there with their produce. And they'll have local organic produce, free-range meats and eggs, their seedlings that they've started or are going to be starting soon, with CSA information, and then, of course, a free directory of our local producers. And there will be free parking and free admission. So those dates, I'd get those on your calendar if you want to start to buy more local organic free-range foods. And in conclusion for today's talk, I identified the nutritional deficiencies in the industrial food system and related chronic diseases. And then secondly, we examined the local food movement and how we all play a role. And lastly, I discussed the local food as part of a new, broader spectrum of health. So as we get older, we start to forget things. So I encourage you, and this is a slide of two older people, and they forgot to wear their clothes. But please don't forget to buy from your local farmer. Thank you.
Well, we're back. I'm sorry. We're talking here and listening to the All Souls Forum, and we're getting kind of involved in it. So call us if you enjoyed that. That was a talk about nutrition, which all of us certainly could stand to hear, certainly me. We just heard Carolyn Skelton, who is a registered licensed dietitian. She works for Cerner Corporation, and she was discussing nutritional deficiencies in commodity-based processed foods and how we can protect ourselves by eating local and organic food. And I'm joined by Rita Norton, who's here from All Souls with us to help maybe convince you all to call in your support at 888-931-0901. That's 888-931-0901. And to support this fine program, Rita, thank you for coming down on this lovely snowy day, and I appreciate you being here to talk about the forum And we've sort of given them a sneak preview of what's coming up, and we've given them a little bit of history about it. Is there anything we haven't touched on that you feel like we ought to tell them about the forum?
Well, I'd like to take the opportunity to do a little special plug for the next couple of live forums.
Yes, please.
On the 8th, Michael Duffy, chair of the Kansas City Redevelopment Authority, will be discussing controversial decisions about tax incentive, financing, and the border war with Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 15th, we will have representatives from One Struggle Kansas City, which is a coalition of activists seeking to harness the energy of Ferguson. That will be on the 15th. And again, when you come to the live forums, you get to ask your own questions.
Yes. And we are joined by John Kerman, who, if you all recall, was the subject of last week's All Souls Forum. Did a lovely talk and Q&A. And let's hear it from your perspective, John. What's it like being at the forum and doing a presentation there?
Well, good afternoon, Barry. Good afternoon, Rita. I see it's now snowing outside. How about that? I hope some folks actually did listen to the All Souls Forum last week. I don't know that I'd quite call my subject lovely, but I appreciate I'll take that as a compliment of my ability to deliver the subject. Obviously, it's a fairly bleak topic.
Climate change, yes.
Yeah, I've spoken, gosh, maybe six times maybe at All Souls Forum over the course of the last
5 or 6 years.
Yeah, something like that. About once a year, I get in there and give a talk. And it's the thing about the forum at All Souls, and this has been going on for many decades now, is that it is such a welcoming place for intellectual contemplation, for really giving a deep view of a subject. You don't often get the opportunity to speak for 35 or 40 minutes about a topic with people listening respectfully and then have the chance to answer what are, for the most part, some very insightful questions that come up afterwards. And so I always am happy when I'm asked. I apparently am the pinch hitter when they're in a bind. They need somebody to come up with a talk. They ask me, and I'm always happy to be asked because it is such a pleasure. And then to have on top of that a community radio station here in Kansas City that thinks that kind of long-form discussion, that kind of long-form presentation followed by questions, is worth airwave time. To put it on the air for all the wonderful things about public radio, you don't often hear long-form conversations about things anymore. Once Talk of the Nation went off the air, it's not quite sound bites, but it's much shorter stuff. So if you appreciate programming like the All Souls Forum, Democracy Now!, all of our public affairs programs, plus our incredibly diverse selection of music programs, you should really be giving us a call. You're listening right now. You clearly value what KKFI brings to our community, what we provide to you. And I hope you also think that we should be on the air so that new folks can tune in and find us and find what they love amongst all the wonderful things on our schedule. So you should be calling 888-931-0901, or you can always go to the website if it's not convenient to call, kkfi.org. We make it real easy for you on the website. It's real easy if you call, too. So call 888-931-0901.
That's a good point, John, that you brought up about the uninterrupted part of it, because when I edit the shows, I purposely do not break into the speech. I don't believe in short sound, but I believe that there should be a continuity of thought and expression. So what we do is we divide the show between the talk and the questions. And I never, ever, unless there's like a sound glitch or some problem, like somebody bumps into the mic or something and I have to take a noise out, if I have to edit anything at all, I never edit the speeches. You know, I never edit the talk. Because that's the important part. And it would be hard for me to decide which sentence to take out or which phrase or paragraph. It's just I don't want to go there. It's easier if I have to, if there's a time constraint, then what I do is I try to find the question that maybe the question and answer that are the shortest ones so that I can sort of surgically remove it, and when you listen to the broadcast, you don't realize it's been gone right. unless you ask the question. But that's important. You know, there's so many things nowadays that are done in sound bites, you know, 2 minutes long, 3 minutes long, and that's long on some newscasts.
It is.
And, you know, we believe that our audience is able to pay attention.
Exactly.
And cognitively understand things given to them in long form rather than feeding you bites and people telling you what you need to decide or how you need to look at it and all that. We try not to do that. So that's the valuable thing about this as well. Not only are you getting information that you can use in your own life, or you're finding out about things that you would not have known about otherwise, but you're getting it whole. You know, you're not getting it censored. You're not getting it piecemeal. You can decide for yourself, you know, what Absolutely. Parts of it you like. So the number to call is 888-931-0901, 888-931-0901. We'd love to hear from you. I ask you at the top of the hour if you would call in and pledge. Please give us some feedback. What kind of subjects do you want covered? What subjects have you particularly liked? Any speakers that you liked particularly? Perhaps you'd like John to come back, you know, in another couple of weeks and talk about his trips to India, perhaps. You know, whoever, just give us feedback when you call in. We'd be delighted to hear from you. And we've got just a few more minutes to talk to you about this. So, Rita, anything else that we haven't covered that maybe we should? I know the forum, we've told people that simply you can just go down to the church at probably about, get there about 9:30 on Sunday mornings, and there's no charge for the forum. I believe it is a free event.
Correct.
And it will always be free. And it's something you can just, even if you're not comfortable, some folks may not be comfortable going to a church they're not used to, but the forum is, I think it's kind of, I don't want to say it's separate, but you can go to the forum and then go to the service or not go to the service.
Correct. Very definitely.
Yeah. So you're don't have to stay after the forum, in other words, if you don't want to.
Absolutely not. Although there's typically a discussion after the forum where you get a chance to sit down around a table with whoever spoke and dig even more deeply into the issues if you feel so inclined. But I'd also just like to say a word about All Souls as a church. It is the most open and welcoming church that I am aware of, and that's because it's part of the Unitarian Universalist denomination, which is very much about social justice, ecological sustainability, diversity, and all of these things. So it's a very welcoming place, so please don't feel like you should have any trepidation about coming to hear a talk just because it's in a place that happens to be called a church. You will be made to feel welcome. I also wanted to say the phrase that was coming to my mind while you were talking earlier, Barry, was a commitment to content. Mm-hmm. That here at KKFI, we are very much about substantive content, whereas most of those other entities out there on your radio dial, their commitment to content only goes so far as what it takes to get ears tuned to the radio station, because they're selling ears to their advertisers. A lot of people don't think that radio is just free, and in some sense it is free. You don't pay for it, but that's because you are the product. You are not the customer when you're listening to commercial radio station. You're what they're selling to their advertisers. Here at KKFI, we don't have advertisers we have to sell to. We have underwriters who typically underwrite with us, both because they want to get the word out about their business, but also because they support our community radio mission. So it's a very, very different thing. You're listening right now. You're hearing my voice. You clearly value that difference. So give us a call, 888-931-0901 to pledge now, or go online to kkfi.org and pledge securely there.
Yes, and the number again, 888-931-0901. Let's hear from you. We want to hear some feedback about this show from you. As I told Rita at the beginning of the show, this was the last time that I was briefed on this. The All Souls Forum was the most downloaded show that we have on our podcasts. And so obviously there's a lot of folks who either they don't get to hear the whole show when it's broadcast, and or perhaps they were on it. Maybe they asked a question at the forum, or they know the speaker, or they have some other reason. The topic is relevant to them. And we make it available as a download. We can't do it immediately, but within a week or two of the broadcast, the show is up. In fact, this show will probably be podcast next week, you know, by early next week. So that's at kkfi.org, where you can also pledge your support. Now, we're going to have to wind down here because we have another host coming in here very shortly. Any final words from you guys besides the number 888-931-0901? Any final thoughts you want to leave him with, either John or Rita?
Well, I'll say briefly that having the KKFI broadcasts of the forums has become something of a plug for coming to the forum.
Good.
Committing oneself to making a presentation.
Well, and people can get their voices heard, you know, both at the forum, but then they can hear, other folks can hear the question that they ask and the answer to that question. So thank you. John, any final thought?
Yeah, what we have going here is a sort of reinforcing feedback loop. People who go to the forum and find out that the programs are broadcast on KKFI are made aware of KKFI, and then people hearing the forum on here are aware of the forum. So if you can't make it to every forum, you know you'll be able to hear it on KKFI. And if you like hearing it on KKFI, well, you might find that you'd enjoy even more hearing it in person and being able to participate. So we got something really good going on here. It's time for you to call 888-931-0901. Make us a nice pledge, and we'll keep this thing going. 888-931-0901.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Rita, as well, for coming down. We're going to close with some things that you need to hear, and we'll prepare ourselves for Jeff Harshbarger and some fine jazz for you coming up at 1 o'clock. So stay tuned. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. This has been the All Souls Forum.
Tune in on Saturday afternoons for real, local, talk radio, community programming. Starting at 3 o'clock p.m., Every Woman with Sharon Lockhart and Amy Bell. 4 o'clock p.m., Urban Connections with Donna Morrow Wolf. 5 o'clock p.m., Guess Who's Coming to Kansas City with M.C. Richardson.
Hi, this is Susan Sanders, KKFI board member, asking you this question. Do you feel like life is just not fair and you're beginning to give up on your country and community and you can no longer depend on the media to be objective? Well, KKFI is listening, and it is our mission to represent you, our community. We answer to your needs, and you do not need to give up because we provide programs where you can express your opinions and suggestions. KKFI is able to be objective because we are commercial free. This means we depend on you, our community, to keep us independent and fair. So pledge now at 888-931-0901 or go online at kkfi.org. Represent your views through pledging at 888-931-0901. KKFI is listening as we stand with you, our community. Keep us standing. Call 888-931-0901.
Hello, this is Elaine McMillan asking you to support KKFI, your community radio station where you hear radio like you've never heard it before. KKFI and I are a lot alike. We both love and support local music and Kansas City's thriving art scene. As a local musician and singer-songwriter, I deeply appreciate how KKFI showcases local musicians, artists, and writers.